It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He's coming to us live from New York City. And we're happy that you're here. We really are. Listening on the free Odyssey app. Locked in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. What's up to my folks on Sirius XM channel 158? And everybody tuned in on a smart speaker. All you got to do is ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. The show gets started. I get started at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, every single weekday. And what a day it has been. We've seen history in Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani becomes the first player ever with a 50-50 season. And he went above and beyond that. 51 home runs, 51 stolen bases, 10 RBIs. Oh, my God. I'll fill you in more in a second. What a day. Damn. And then it's Thursday. We got Thursday night football. New York Jets hosting their rival that sucks now, the New England Patriots. What a day. What a day. What a day. You can participate in the show. Real simple. You can call up. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I mean, after what we have witnessed today, this afternoon, this evening, it just further cements just the legend of Shohei Ohtani. The Dodgers beat the Marlins in Miami. The final score is 20-4. Shohei Ohtani enters into this game. This man had 48 home runs. Okay. He had 49 stolen bases. Tonight he hits 3 home runs and he steals 2 bases. And not only does he do that, he takes it a step further. He ends tonight 51-51. Crazy. His stat line for tonight, he's 6-for-6. He's perfect. 3 home runs. He had 2 doubles. He had 10 RBIs, 2 stolen bases. The Dodgers beat the Marlins. Shohei Ohtani basically clinches his first postseason appearance. He never knew what that was when he was with the Angels. What a wild, wild day. And he did all of this, the home runs at least, in a span of literally in real time, what seemed to be almost about an hour. You know what? Let's listen to the game, or not, you can't call it game time. Let's listen to the historic 50th home run by Shohei Ohtani. This is courtesy of the Dodgers Radio Network.
He swings, hits a drive to left. This ball's back. There it is. Number 50, the first player in the history of Major League Baseball to have a 50-50 season. He is incredible. Shohei Ohtani with an opposite field home run. 50-50. What a day for Shohei. He is the new all-time single season home runs leader for the Dodgers in the first ever Dodger with a 50 home run season. Shohei Ohtani is incredible. He is one of a kind.
Wow. 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 I mean, just it was so cool to sit here and watch it. Just while it's going on, man. And Hickey, the same question that I asked, and I asked this question to the listeners as well. If you want to call up, you can. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I posed this question online. If you caught Shohei Ohtani's 50th home run ball, what would you need in return to give the ball back? Hickey, you ready for some of these answers?
Oh, I can't wait.
Iron Mark on Twitter says, or X, he's putting it in an auction, okay? There's a guy who has the money gift, Okay, what else we have here? Okay. Nothing less than $10 million. That's a lot, Hickey. $10 million? This is what I meant. Yeah, God, Jeff McMillan says, the final price at auction. He wants that. Okay. And people are asking for money. Yeah, people just want money, Hickey. They're like me. Okay, a guy, Troy Carlson, he's a sweet human being. He says all he would need is to meet Shohei Ohtani, get a selfie and a bat and a jersey, and that's enough for him.
There you go.
That's not nothing. There's nothing. How much is a just regular Shohei jersey? A couple thousand? I mean, even in 50 years, is it even worth that much money?
What about this? What if you offer a trade? I'll trade you the ball for the jersey you wore tonight.
No, not doing that. No.
If you're Ohtani, would you rather keep your... If you could only have one, jersey or the ball, what would you value more?
He ain't getting none of it. Ohtani's not keeping any of it.
Well, why not?
You think Ohtani is keeping some... Like, what is he keeping?
Maybe the bat?
Maybe.
But if it was you, if you were the only person ever in radio history to accomplish something... Right. Wouldn't you want to keep one of those as a souvenir?
No, I don't. Like what?
No.
What do I do? I come to work. This stuff doesn't even belong to me.
Would you want to keep that? If you could take the microphone home with you?
No.
You wouldn't want the microphone?
No, don't care. I'm not a things person. I don't like things.
All right. So
money.
The Radio Hall of Fame comes to you. They say we're going to take the microphone. We're going to take the shirt you're wearing. We're going to take the pants you're wearing. The sneakers.
No.
We're taking the headphones you're wearing.
No.
But are you keeping any of that?
No, but I'm keeping what belongs to me. But this is sports. Like this is commonplace. They give this stuff up. It's a part of the gig. Like they know. It's different. You don't think it's different? I don't.
I mean, maybe I'm just sentimental. Like I would want to keep some stuff. Like if it's the record, I want to keep whether it's my jersey, whether it's the ball. Like it's mine. Like I'll give you the bat. Sure, you want my cleats? Absolutely. You know, batting gloves. Sure. But, like, if it's the jersey, if it's the ball, like, I would want it.
Do you see these baseball players fighting to keep their stuff when they make these records? They don't. They give everything away. They basically had a pen and a pad, and they took everything from him and started doing, like, an inventory. This is his shoulder pad. This is his calf thing. This is his calf protector. They took his shoes, Hickey. They took everything.
Well, now when you wear so much armor as a batter, I guess that's the good thing. You can give all that away. You know, you have more stuff to give away. Maybe, you know, keep some of the other stuff. Here's his elbow guard for the 50th home run.
Gave away a lot, man. I don't want no stinking picture. Give me money. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I do want to let you know. Shohei Ohtani is a phenom. We're going to talk some Texas football in a little more than 10 minutes. Anwar Richardson is going to join us from the Orange Bloods. And I want to talk about another potential phenom in Arch Manning. 855-212-4227. Lee is here from Cincinnati. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Lee?
Hey, man, JR, I just got to say this, and please don't hate me for this, but you should be ashamed, man. What happened to doing the right thing? You catch that that home run ball, you got to give it back. That's the right thing to do. What happened to doing the right thing just because it's the right thing to do? Why do you always have to get paid? Why does everybody always have to get paid for doing the right thing? Why can't you just do it because it's the right thing to do, man? Seriously. That is so wrong to keep that ball from the man. He did that. He made record. He's done something nobody else has ever done. Why can't you just do the right thing and give the man the ball? It's his. He earned it. You were in the right place at the right time, grant him. But why do you got to get paid out for it? Why can't you do the right thing and just give it to him?
Who said that this is a matter of right or wrong? The last time I checked, the man who hits the ball does not have ownership of it. And the last time I checked, if I'm buying a ticket to go to a baseball stadium and I know the ball is hit to me, and I also know the ball is worth money, everything is a business. The stadium going up is a business. The baseball player hitting the ball is a part of the business. I, as a fan, am a part of the economy of the business by purchasing a ticket. And I know if I catch a ball, that ball belongs to me. It is now up to me what I want to do with the ball. It's not a matter of right or it's not a matter of wrong. If I take the ball and I throw the ball 90 mile per hour at somebody else's head, that is wrong. That is called assault. If I catch a ball in a baseball stadium that I have purchased a ticket and I'm in the right place in the right time, when it lands in my glove and I'm in possession of it, it is mine. There's a reason why the team goes out and tries to barter with you. The team does not ask for the ball back. The team does not take it back and demand it because it is theirs. They ask and they try to barter because it is no longer in their possession. It's not a matter of right or a matter of wrong. Everything that happens inside, everything that happens, if there's a monetary exchange, it's all business.
So it's all about money. That's all it depends on. Not whether or not it's ethically right or you're doing something that you should
Where are the ethics? Now you've changed it up now. It's gone from...
That's what it was always about, was doing the right thing. You're a good human being.
The first thing you said was the ball belongs to him and he earned it. And now you've eliminated that part because I guess that part of what I said made sense. And so now it boils down to ethics. And that's a matter of opinion. That's not a matter of right and wrong. If you are such a sweet and amazing human being that you want to give the ball back, good. I'm not going to judge you for that. But I also understand the economics. I understand that I'm walking into a stadium that is worth probably $2 billion that was built on my tax dollars. I'm walking into a stadium slash a baseball arena, whatever the hell you want to call it, where the guy who hit the ball is going to make probably more than $1 billion. I'm walking into a place where the two teams probably have an equal valuation north of $10 billion. I'm participating in a sport here in Major League Baseball that on an average annual basis, they're probably pulling in, I don't know, probably close to $15 to $20 billion. Me saying I spent my, I don't know, a $50, $60, $100, $200 to stand in the outfield and I catch a ball, me asking for something as a matter of being unethical, hey, it's to each his own. That just doesn't make too much sense to me. I didn't take the ball and punch a kid in the face with it. I didn't snatch the ball out of a kid's hand. I caught the ball and I did what everybody else does. This has value. And if you don't understand that the baseball has value, go do something else. I mean, damn it, I didn't know that catching a baseball and asking for money in return made me, you know, I don't know, the devil. I guess if you hand the ball back, your Mother Teresa. Me, I'm just the devil. I caught the ball. I want money. Everybody else making money? You can't buy the ball back from me? I'm just giving it to you because it's the right thing? Who said it's right? Right or wrong? Come on. Ain't no right or wrong in this. Hickey, you remember my story when me and my friend went to the Met game and I caught a T-shirt and he caught pigeon crap. Remember that?
That's right.
It's not. Did I do something because we switched seats? Am I the bad guy now? Like, what am I doing? Is it Hickey? What are your thoughts on what he said?
So I think you're right. I think I'll be honest. I have flip flopped on this for a while. I kind of stood where Lee stood. But the more you think about it, and I've kind of changed this over the last few years, really when the whole Aaron Judge 60-second home run thing happened a few years ago. It's not his ball. Like, I don't think he has a right to, like, he has a right to his jersey that he's wearing. It's his jersey. Right. But no baseball belongs to a player. No, you know, there are some things that are theirs, but, like, you hit a ball into the stands, you can want it back, but that doesn't mean, like, if I catch it, that doesn't mean that, you know, Shohei Ohtani, it's his property and he's rightful. Like, if you go to court and Ohtani says, oh, this is my ball, you're not getting that ball back. They're saying it's not your property. You can barter for it, but you're not owed anything. I think that's where it comes down to. And also, too, like, we don't even know if baseball players value baseballs. Like, some do, but maybe Ohtani likes his bat better. You know, that the one that he uses to hit ball, you know, maybe he hit, I think, what, all three home runs of the same bat, possibly?
Like, yeah.
Maybe he wants that more, and that's his bat. I would argue that he's more entitled to his bat versus a baseball. I'm with you. I don't think he's owed any. If he wants it and he wants to pay money for it, he's got enough to meet almost any demand you have.
He's on us right now. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars, and right now he is on a $700 million contract.
He can afford it.
Come on. It's because it's the right thing to do. Oh, come on. Stop it. Stop.
What Lee is saying is essentially insinuating if you were to leave the stadium with the ball, you'd be arrested. That'd be like theft. You're stealing someone else's property. That's not what's happening.
It belongs to him. Listen, this is not a basketball. It's common knowledge. You go to a baseball game. There are so many baseballs that get hit. The baseballs are authenticated before they go out. They mark them, all of that stuff. They end up in the stands so they can track them and all this other stuff for the future if need be. Common knowledge. If I go to a basketball game and somebody shoots a wayward three and it's a buzzer beater and it misses and it goes over the basket and I catch the basketball, you know what I can't do? You know what they're not going to let me do? Leave with the basketball. Okay? It's theirs. It doesn't work that way in basketball. They're not going to let you leave the building. Then I'd be a thief. It doesn't work that way. Baseball is different. The right thing to do. I should be ashamed of myself. I'm not. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, it's time to talk about another potential phenom in sports. His name is Arch Manning. We're going to have that conversation with Anwar Richardson from the Orange Bloods. Yes, we're going to talk to my friends who know all about everything going down in Austin, Texas. Let's talk about this. Sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of Shields, Guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, we got Thursday Night Football. Yeah, we got that Shohei Ohtani guy just out here crushing everything, making history. But, man, we're about to stare in the face of another college football weekend. And, you know, Ohtani's a phenom. Caitlin Clark is a phenom. I think we might have one out in Texas. And we finally saw him let loose last week. His name is Arch Manning. It's been confirmed by Sark that he is going to be let loose to start the game against Louisiana Monroe. We know Texas ranked number one in the country. What does this mean for Arch? What does this mean for Quinn Ewers? What does this mean for the offense? What does this mean for Louisiana Monroe, which says they are not afraid, they are not scared? To talk about it all right now, we're being joined by Anwar Richardson from OrangeBloods.com. Anwar, how are you, man?
You know what? I got nothing but love for you to actually correctly pronounce my name. Oh, you my guy now. You my guy. I'm glad to be on with you.
Well, thank you. Let me be very clear about something, Anwar. Yeah. I don't know who the hell else you have ever spoken to. Okay? We do things.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk to somebody and not know who the hell they are. Anwar, thank you, man.
I appreciate you, brother, man. Thank you for having me on, man. It's great to talk to you. And yes, the man, the myth, the legend, Arch Manning, takes the field on Saturday to make his first start. And there's a lot of excitement, right? There's a lot of buzz about that. I mean, it's funny when, you know, Steve Sarkisian was trying to talk this week and trying to say about Arch being one of the guys and how he just kind of fits in just like normal guys and he doesn't, you know, have to do anything special. I was just like, I mean, yeah, you that's like saying like Michael Jackson is just one of the Jacksons, right? I mean, like at some point,
rest
you got to acknowledge who he is.
Right,
yeah,
right.
He is, and he's a Manning. He's part of the first family of football. When you start thinking of sports and some of the legacies that are there, like the Manning family, the whole family in hockey, right? And so, for him to make his start here, you know, Texas fans are very excited. They obviously got a chance to. They saw him in a lot in the spring game because he played a lot in the spring game. Steve Sarkisian wanted to make sure that Arch was ready for a time like this because Quinn Ewers has battled injuries all throughout his career in college. He also had injuries in high school. So it's been a thing. And so Steve was like, okay, listen, I need to make sure my backup is ready to go. And so that's why Arch played the majority of the spring game, and he looked incredibly well there. But as you know, you've covered sports for a long time. It's hard to really judge. I mean, it's a spring game. But he went out versus UTSA, and even though it was UTSA, I always say you still got to make the bad teams look bad, right? Because at the end of the day, it's easy to say, oh, they're not good. Well, you got to make them not look good first, and then you can say they're not good. He went out there. He looked very, you know, obviously from a passing standpoint, from an athletic standpoint, I don't think many people realize how much of an athlete he really is. I think everybody kind of looks at it and they think to themselves, they're like, oh, well, you know what? His daddy's Peyton. And then they talk about Peyton and they talk about Eli. And always forget that his daddy's Cooper. You know, Cooper was the athlete of the family. Like, his daddy was the guy who was going to be a receiver in the SEC. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that he's got the wheels that he has. So it's a good thing for Texas. You know, Quinn Ewers will probably be back. He's week to week. I talked to some people today. They feel like, you know, after this game, they've got Mississippi State. Mississippi State's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
So they may not even need him. So we might have Toledo Arch in the next 2 weeks. Yeah. They got blasted by Toledo, by the way. Blasted by Toledo.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, after Mississippi State, they have a bye week. So there may be the opportunity to say, okay, let Quinn rest this week. Let him rest against Mississippi State. Go into the bye week and then come back for the real back-to-back gauntlet, which is Oklahoma and Georgia in back-to-back week.
Anwar Richardson is here with us from OrangeBloods.com. You talk about Quinn Ewers, and it seems year after year throughout the course of every season – we see him go down with some type of injury. I mean, he's sitting down right now, projected to be one of the top quarterbacks selected in the draft. You'd have to be kind of blind to not take into account his injury history if you have to look at Carson Beck and also Shador. What are your thoughts on his durability?
You know, one of the reasons why he didn't go pro after last season is the feedback that he got from the scouts was, he's got to find a way to stay healthy. You know, when they invest in you and they say, like, hey, you're going to be our franchise guy, well, you know, that the availability is just as valuable as the athleticism that you might have. And so, you know, him not being out there for the next couple of weeks, you know, it's going to make an NFL team say, okay, can he last an NFL season? Am I going to invest in a guy who has struggled to last? And then do we have to get a quality backup? So, look, I think at the end of the day, I don't think the quarterback draft class is so overwhelmingly strong where you say to yourself, okay, he still can't be a first-round pick. Like, someone will take a risk on him, and someone will take a chance and say, you know what, the arm talent is there, the accuracy is there. He's being coached by Steve Sarkisian. Like, there'll be a lot of things that someone will say, okay, maybe we can work with him. Someone will tell themselves, we'll get him in our strength and conditioning program or our doctors to be able to do that. They'll do that. But at the end of the day, you still got to have a quarterback to stay healthy. Like, at the end of the day, that's just what it is. And so it might ding him in the eyes of some teams. I don't know if it will for every team because at the end of the day, the thing about the NFL is, You can't win unless you have a franchise quarterback. And so you've got to keep trying to find someone until you get it. And so there's going to be an NFL team that says, the guy that we have ain't that good, or we can't go to the Super Bowl with him. We may need to draft this guy. And even if he just sits for a couple of years, maybe that ends up being the guy that gets us over the hump. Because at the end of the day, in the NFL, you just can't win without a franchise guy.
Anwar Richardson is joining us here, covers all things Texas Longhorns. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show. Going into the season, people are looking at the defense and specifically the secondary. And they're like, hey, well, what are they going to do? And it's tough to evaluate after these first three games. They pretty much beat up on everybody. But what is your impression on the defense so far? I mean, they've pretty much only really looked at Michigan here.
Yeah, I mean, it's spot. You have a great observation, right? But let me say this. Last year, this pass defense was ranked 116th in the country. Okay. I would think you and I would agree, JR, that's kind of bad.
Man,
this
real bad.
Year, they're top 25, right? And so, sure. Here's the thing, JR, that's interesting. They've made the bad teams or the subpar teams look the way they need to do, right? And I always said you have to do that. Like, it's easy to say, like, okay, you haven't played anybody. Well, you know, what was Northern Illinois a couple of weeks ago, right? So you've got to still do that thing, right? But they went on the road versus Michigan, and they basically beat that team by 19 points. And said that, and so when you talk about from a defensive standpoint, we saw that they were supposed to have an outstanding run game, and that was supposed to be something that, ooh, what is Texas going to be able to do with that? They shut that run game down. And then it put Michigan into a spot where they were supposed to throw the ball. But, JR, what happened in that game is something you don't really see when it comes to a top 10 team. They were trailing late third quarter, fourth quarter. And you know what Michigan refused to do? They refused to go to a hurry-up offense and try to pass the ball to get back in the game because they knew that this defense was so good and they knew their quarterback was so inept that if they tried to hurry this tempo, they might get blown out. So I would say that the defense has played well. And here's the other thing. Now, I don't know if you have the schedule in front of you. They play Mississippi State next week, right? Then they have the bye. Then I've told you that they've got the back-to-back games. They've got Oklahoma and Georgia.
That's right.
But then if you look past that schedule after that, I mean, they should be able to beat most of these teams pretty easily when you talk about the Floridas of the world and the Kentuckys of the world, Vanderbilt that's going to be on the schedule, Texas A&M. Like, they have a road and a path where once they get past those two tough games, it really opens up for them, and then they just got to just be a team that gets hot and catches fire and continues going. So, you know, the good part is they're good enough at this point where you can look at it and say they'll be better than the majority of teams that they've played this year. Outside Georgia might be your only coin toss game, and outside of that, Texas should have the advantage. So, yeah, how do you judge it? I know it's hard, but at the end of the day, when you're going out and you are curb stomping pretty much every team that you have faced, at some point you're saying, okay, they may have something here. This doesn't look to be a fluke.
Anwar Richardson is here with us from orangebloods.com. You named it. You know, taking a look at the schedule, you got the Bulldogs. That's this smack dab in the middle of the schedule. They're currently ranked number one in the country, Longhorns are, and ahead of UGA, which they've been for the better part of now 2 years. What do you ultimately expect at the end of this season for their first year in the SEC?
You know, the interesting question there are going into this season, everybody kept asking, is Texas ready for the SEC, right? They've been in the Big 12. They hadn't really had a lot of championships when they're in the Big 12, right? So are they ready for that? And at this point, the question can almost be flipped, which is the SEC ready for Texas, right? Because they've been able to build up a program that you saw last year, went into Tuscaloosa and beat that team on the road by double digits, right? Yes, they lost to Washington in a college playoff game, but Michael Penix got on his PlayStation and hit the God mode, right? And he just went off in that game, right? So I don't know how many people would have beat him in that game. And then you see this team go on the road to Michigan and beat that team by double digits, beat that team by 19 points. So when we get towards the end of the season, I think we're at the point where we can't say this thing is a fluke. Like, we can't say, like, okay, this is lucky. This was a one-off. Like, no, like, you see what happens. You saw Quinn Ewers go down last week, and you saw Arch Manning come in and take over. You saw they lost two running backs before the season, and they still haven't really skipped a beat as far as the run game is concerned. They had guys come in and transfer portal and the receivers. Don't forget that they lost three receivers to the NFL draft. Everyone talks about the guys that Michigan lost, right? Oh, they lost 13 guys to the NFL draft. Steve Sarkisian has been saying in the offseason, by the way, we lost 11 guys to the NFL draft. and we're doing just fine, right? So, and they lost three receivers. Xavier Worthy, who you obviously know about.
Oh, yeah.
Adonai Mitchell, who's at an Indianapolis Colts, and Jordan Winnison is with the Rams. And they just went ahead and just refurbished and replenished that from receiving room. They're deep. So the Sarkisian before the season said this was one of the deepest teams. This was not one of the deepest teams that he's had since he's been here in Texas. And I was like, oh, man, you're talking a lot right now, especially based off of what you did last year. But we've seen them sustain injuries and still not skip a beat. Like, they literally lost their quarterback and got the number one ranking, you know, a day or two later, right? We saw what happened to FSU last year. They lost their quarterback, and the committee was like, well, y'all can't be in the playoffs. Y'all done. They lose theirs. They're like, yo, number one team, because you got Arch Manning. So I think at the end of the year, this is a team that you probably should expect to be in the SEC championship game. This is a team that is fighting for and should be probably in contention. It's several weeks away, but like again, as you look at that schedule, you know, that's a team that should be fighting for a top four spot. And they're one of the better teams in the country. And, you know, look, we'll see what happens when they face up against Georgia. That's a game that potentially could be played three times, could be played in regular season, could be played in SEC championship game, could be playing in the playoffs. But, you know, we'll see how they match up. But, again, they matched up really well against Alabama last year. I think they match up well against Georgia this year. The thing is about Sark that you have to know and take an account for is when he got here, he looked at the squad and he said, this ain't it. We need a team that can compete against the SEC. This is before the Big 12, the whole move from the Big 12 into the SEC thing happened. He just said, like, even when we get out of the Big 12, we're going to have to face SEC competition. And so we need to build that. So what did he do? He built it in the trenches. You know, you can't win in the SEC unless you got a good offensive line and defensive line. I think you remember a few years ago, you started hearing stuff with the NIL, the Pancake Factory, and how the offensive linemen were getting like $50,000 each, right? they were able to build. Yeah, I know. I know. We missed out, bro. We missed out. They've been able to build. They built the offensive line. They built up the defensive line. They've replenished, they've replaced. And so this is a team that's legit. This is a team that's going to be serious. And I think over the next several years, and I'm a harsh critic, I'm just being honest with you. I'm a straight up person. I'm a very harsh person. I'm not a homer. I went to University of South Florida, so I don't have a horse in this race. But I do believe that over the next few years, the teams that you're going to see consistently competing for national championships are going to be Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, and I think Texas is going to be one of those teams because what you see what Sark does, that you're going to see them year in and year out competing because they understand how to recruit. They recruit very well. They understand how to use the transfer portal to their advantage. And then Steve Sarkisian, as a play caller, has done a phenomenal job, and so has the staff. So I don't think what we're seeing is like a one-off fluke where we're going to say like they go back to the norm. I don't want to say Texas is back, but I just want to say they're better, if that makes sense.
Well, I know what I'm going to see this upcoming Saturday. They're going to beat the snot out of Louisiana.
Man.
That much I know. Hey,
I'm just saying.
They said they're not afraid. They've seen Arch, and we'll see after he puts up another five TDs on him. Anwar, where can people follow and find you and all of your work?
Man, it's going to be a lot of slow singing, a lot of flower bringing, as Biggie would say. Follow me on just Anwar Richardson on Twitter, nothing fancy, A-N-W-A-R, last name Richardson. Don't send me nothing on Facebook or Instagram. You ain't going to get on there. That's just for my kids. Get on X, and you can get on there, and you can follow me. I don't tweet out a lot of different things, so you won't be overwhelmed or overburdened with stuff.
Hey, we appreciate you, man. Good luck covering that bloodbath, okay?
It's going to be bad. But, hey, I appreciate you. You can have me on anytime, brother.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a good weekend and a good evening, okay? No doubt about it. That Anwar Richardson from OrangeBloods.com covers all things University of Texas. Them Longhorns. Yeah, Arch is going to light them up. Talking about they not afraid. They should be. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to tell you about another phenom. She's playing basketball right now.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Oh, thank you so much. Hickey, every now and then I get beautiful messages from the listeners. And I even get emails from Peter. I must be doing something right. I don't know.
You are probably on a short list of people that have gotten nice emails from PETA.
Well, I didn't say I ate the bird. I didn't say I shot the bird. I just said I saw the woodpecker. You can't do nothing. You can't. You just look at it.
I didn't know, though, PETA just would reach out to you in a positive way. I thought they only came after you if it was negative and if it was quiet or if it was positive. I should say they just kind of remained hush. I didn't know that they gave out compliments as well. It's good to see.
They're people, too. They want allies. I want to be allies with PETA. Of course I do.
That's a smart way to gain people on your side. Yes. Be nice and throw a compliment.
Yes, the shout-outs to PETA. People for the ethical treatment of animals. Thank you. 855-212-4227. And thank you to Anwar Richardson for coming through to talk with us about some Texas football. They're going to take on Louisiana Monroe. Their defensive coordinator for Louisiana Monroe said, "We're not afraid of Arch Manning. A lot of our guys played him. They come from New Orleans. They played against him. We're not afraid." Hickey, what's this score about to look like?
Well, considering Arch had, what, 5 touchdowns in like 2.5 quarters, there will be a 6.
Oh,
in
no.
front of as the first number for
oh,
Texas.
Oh, no.
I'm debating about a 7.
I wanted to scale it down, man.
Oh.
I don't know. 50-10?
50-10. If you're Louisiana Monroe, I think you take that as a W.
You get 10 points?
Well, that's a good question. Well, you know who's quarterbacking you now?
Who, Louisiana Monroe?
Yeah.
Who? You're asking me?
He's a legacy.
Booty. Yeah. There's so many booties. What level of booty is this? I know we've had John David. We've had Josh. Didn't we talk to one of the booties earlier this year?
Josh, I believe, right?
We spoke to Josh Booty?
I believe so.
I can't keep up with
John David.
John David.
Who was the former USC quarterback. I believe General is his son.
It can't be his first. It cannot be his real first name. It can't be. It can't be.
I mean, if you're the last name Booty, you have to be creative.
You have to name your son General?
Better than Big, right? Come here, Big.
Big. What, you're in school? the first grade teacher.
This can't be right. Who's playing a prank on me?
Taking attendance. Go, okay. And you get to B fast because it's only the second letter in the alphabet. So you get the Booty and you just go. You go, I don't know. I don't know. What's in letter? There is no name. Anthopoulos, you got to be Greek. You know, there is no last name that starts with A. Right?
Teacher probably is like, there's no way this is what it seems like. And it's like put a French yeah. pronunciation. Beige? Booty? No, it's just Big.
No. First name on a roll call on the roster says Booty. And then the first name says Big.
Stand up.
Big stand up. Now, who can, you know what? Doesn't even at that point doesn't even matter if the name is Big or General.
No, it's all the same.
Booty, first name General. Here, you screw with me? You do? Is this your real name? Yes. Don't maybe have to call the principal. Is this your real name? I'll call the front desk. Yeah, my name is General Booty. What you want from me? This is almost like The Simpsons. Remember The Simpsons? You ever seen it when Bart Simpson used to call the bar? Used to talk to Mo Sizlak at the bar. He'd pick the phone up, be like, Mo's Tavern. And then Bart would be like, can I talk to Huge? He'd be like, Huge who? Ass. He'd be like, Huge ass. I need someone with a huge ass. Do we have anyone here? Huge ass. And it just, General Booty. Ugh. They're going to light him up. Well, anyway, his defensive coordinator said, Louisiana Monroe, he said, we are not afraid of Arch Manning. Take a listen to this.
We actually have some kids on our team that played against him in New Orleans, and you know, a couple of guys done beat him already. So they don't hold too much fear against him. So they're not gonna hold any fear against him.
Now, I've tried to verify this, and I think you can understand if it's not the easiest thing to go and just pull up quickly. I think I saw something that said that none of them kids beat Arch Manning. I mean, that's one thing to just, I don't want to say flippantly say at a press conference. But come on, man. Like, how often did Arch Manning lose when he started? Down at, I think, Theodore Isidore. If my main man Matt is listening, he might know. Did that man lose out there? I don't know. I don't want to say they're talking reckless. They're talking greasy. They're talking crazy. Arch Manning, he going to light them up. He is going to light them up. General Booty doesn't stand a chance. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to give you an update on the New York Jets and the Patriots. I'm going to give you an update on Caitlin Clark. It's our final regular season game. She's going to the playoffs. And I will give you, well, it's not an update. We're going to talk about the greatness and relive the amazingness of Shohei Ohtani. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.